from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, back at it for another week. St. John Fisher University, the Buffalo Bills training camp wrapping up at the tail end of this week. Welcome in. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. We are in different locations here because Matt's coming back up Monday to cover practice. And full disclosure, I wasn't even supposed to be at practice today. Matt, we had a travel baseball tournament a little north here in Kendall, New York. We got eliminated a little earlier than I expected, so I had my day free. So I drove back to camp instead of going home.
Well, it sounds like you picked a good day to go to camp. I mean, yeah, you've been there every other day. I missed probably, it sounds like, the highlight of training camp. So I guess that's my punishment for taking the weekend off.
Well, there's been quite a few highlights by the guy who made the highlight today, and that is Keon Coleman. So let's kind of tell you what happened today, and then I have a bigger picture question for you. What happened today was Josh Allen in an 11-on-11 drill was scrambling to his right. The Bills have video of this. It's up. You could watch it. It's a Buffalo Bills Twitter feed. Josh was scrambling to his right, a classic Allen scramble to his right, sprinting towards the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Just as he got a few feet from the sidelines, he threw an absolute missile into the back of the end zone, and somehow Keon Coleman went up to grab it over Christian Benford. All of us in the media, you saw all of our colleagues, myself included, tweeting, oh my God, another highlight reel catch. Wow. How did he do it? Keon Coleman again. Incredible throw. Josh knew exactly where to put it. I mean, Christian Benford had great coverage, Matt. I don't know. Watch the video. I don't know what else he's supposed to do. Who's supposed to cover that? Greg Rousseau, maybe? With his length, I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do. My question for you is, thinking about that play, and you watch the play and you can comment on it, are we starting to get to the point of, hey, the Bills made the right call here, got the right guy, and the league better start paying attention to what they're doing and this kid's doing?
I don't know if I want to go there yet. I like the player. I like the training camp he's had. I had a tweet that kind of popped off unintentionally from a fantasy football account that was like, you know, it's no surprise that A.D. Mitchell and Keon Coleman are struggling to start training camp. This was probably a couple days ago. And I just responded, Keon Coleman is not struggling at all. I mean, we've been out there every single day. I don't know. There's so much misinformation on the internet, whatever topics they are. Yeah. But Keon Coleman, I thought, has been very, very impressive. From a wide receiver standpoint, Khalil Shakir has been the most consistent. And then I would say Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel have probably been the ones who have flashed the most consistently. But they're different levels of flash. Curtis Samuel is a flash of, oh, yeah, they might use this guy a lot in a lot of different places. Keon Coleman is, whoa, this guy might be good. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet, because I still would have preferred a massive trade up to go get one of the big fish, to go get one of the Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr.'s, Roma Dunze's, just because it feels like their ceiling is so high. I know it's apples and oranges. I know that would have cost multiple first round picks, and Keon Coleman didn't even cost a first round pick. He cost a second round pick. He is trending in the right direction, but I do want to see actual game action. Like this highlight play that he made, while spectacular, no pads on. So let's see it with real game speed, with real pads, with real tackling. And that's why I'm so excited. You know, the guy definitely I'm most excited to see once the preseason starts.
He makes one of these a day, it seems like. A highlight reel catch, right?
Basically every day he's had one.
You know, someone made a great point of, you know, it's not necessarily a unique thought, but I really like the idea of, hey, I mean, you have this guy now too. This we've talked about, his catch radius is so good in the end zone. We've seen a lot of these catches in the end zone. Could that even prolong Josh Allen's career to have a red zone threat where he doesn't have to run the ball as much, Matt?
Oh, definitely. What this will do is this gives them something that they really haven't had over the course of Josh Allen's career. Gabe Davis was a bigger guy, but he was by no means a jump ball specialist or a contested catch expert. Gabe Davis' skill set was, hey, we're going to beat you over the top and stretch the field. And Stephon Diggs was, I'm just going to get wide open and you're going to get me the ball. It's not like those guys were bringing down a ton of contested catches. So yeah, this is a skill set that Josh Allen has not had. I don't want them to completely get rid of his ability to run the ball in the red zone, because I think that's one of the reasons that he is just so freaking good that you never really know how you can stop him or defend him. But this is just another piece, another weapon in the arsenal that they now have.
Even though I agree with you that it would have been nice to get Roma Dunze, right? Like, that would have been great. You get Malik Nabers. We all know the price was too prohibitive. And I think even though some people may look into it and say, why couldn't the Bills do it? It just probably wasn't going to happen. What they could have done was draft Xavier Worthy. So Keon and Xavier Worthy are going to be tied together for a long time for their careers, much like Mahomes and Allen and the trade that happened in 2017. That's the guy I think that everybody's going to obviously kind of keep comparing to. Did you see the highlight or the clip of Xavier Worthy getting blocked by two different players a couple of days ago?
Yeah, I did. I did. It's one of those ones that it's not a good look, but at the same time,
does it matter?
Exactly. I don't think that all of a sudden Xavier Worthy is not a good player, because today I watched another clip of him beating the defender over the top for another bomb touchdown pass. A lot of this is going to depend on the quarterbacks. If I was a betting man, which, you know, I guess in this instance I am a little bit, I think they're both going to be good players. And I think they're both going to be good players because they're both with amazing quarterbacks. I think Xavier Worthy will be a more big splash play type of guy. Big, you know, 50, 60 yard touchdowns. But I think Keon Coleman will be the, okay, I'm going to high point a ball, or somebody who can maybe, you know, really be a little bit more reliable. So I think that they both have their skill set. Yes, that's going to make a ton of sense. I think it's those two guys. And then the guy who kind of fell in between them, and that's Xavier Leggett. So I think that kind of, like, you have the three at the beginning of the first round. Then Brian Thomas Jr. was a little bit in no man's land. He was before the Bills picked, before the Chiefs picked, before, you know, we thought maybe one of those teams would make a trade up. And then you've kind of got that next grouping. And then actually the other part of that grouping is Ladd McConkey. So all different skill sets, but that's what's so interesting about these players is they're not similar. Like, they all have very different skill sets. So it felt like it was just kind of dealer's choice with what these teams were individually looking for. And I think Keon is what the Bills wanted. I mean, it's not that long ago, Sal. Keon Coleman was not a universally loved prospect. Like, there were a lot of people who really did not like the player. We had a couple different draft experts that we talked to that said he was one of the most polarizing guys in the class. Some people thought he was going to be spectacular, and other people thought his lack of speed was going to really, really limit him in the NFL. So it's been weird to see. Weird to see is not the right way of saying it. Just, you know, it so far so good, at least for Keon, from my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the same stuff from fantasy people. I don't get it. Like, we're out there all the time. I think it's been way more positive than negative for Keon Coleman. I think that for sure. Another guy's been really positive, had another nice day today. Tyrell Shavers fighting for a spot there. And Matt, Chase Claypool did not practice again today. He's missed about a week now, I think, or so, with the toe injury. Here comes Tyrell Shavers. At this point in time, we've talked about this, but every day it seems like I'm putting Tyrell Shavers more and more on this team and Chase Claypool off this team.
It feels like Tyrell Shavers has almost even jumped up to the fifth wide receiver
over MVS.
Over MVS. Yep, yeah. Now, I don't know if we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves here with just basing this off of training camp. And like I said, I was not there, but I did see our colleague Alec Brasky post that MVS had two drops today on individual drills, on deep balls. Like, I know that what you do in an actual game setting means so much more, but he has not flashed the level that I think we assumed he would. And Tyrell Shavers has. He's been one of the players consistently making plays. So I think he's definitely got an inside track at a job. And maybe it's even stronger of a chance than we're giving him credit for.
Agreed. On all of that, I could see him replacing MVS as well, partly because of what you said. Maybe MVS just hasn't flashed. I just wonder how much runway they get a guy like MVS because he's a veteran. He's won Super Bowls. He's got the skill set they kind of want. But man, Tyrell Shavers is really putting together a nice camp. Another guy who had a couple drops today, at least one, going to talk about here next. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio and Matt Bove. All right. Last year, not a great year catching the ball on some of the easier ones for James Cook. Another one right in his hands at the goal line. Very similar to the things we saw last year when he dropped the ball right in front of me, Matt. Like, I came into this year going, those things happen. He'll clean that up. It's not the first time this camp either that's happened.
No, it's not. And that has been something that for the last, let's say, year and some change has been an issue with James Cook. It's the drops. He has made some nice catches, but it's the easy ones that seem to be the ones that are giving him the most problems. He had a drop touchdown that would have been a huge play in Philly. He had a drop touchdown against the Cowboys in the game where he was spectacular. I think there was one other drop in there. He has the fumble on the first play of the game against the Broncos. I don't think he's had a bad camp by any stretch, but it is noticeable. The noticeable part for James Cook in this camp has been, hey, are you making all the catches you need to make? And then with Ray Davis, it's been, are you holding onto the ball when you need to hold onto the ball? And Ty Johnson just hasn't been available. So I do have some questions at the running back, really, with all three of the guys we're expecting are going to be on the team.
And Ray Davis, a nice long run at the scrimmage, the practice the other night, and once again, puts it on the ground, right? I mean, like we talked about that afterwards. You got to have ball security. You got to be able to catch the ball. This is going to be, you know, something where Sean McDermott's going to have those little things when he evaluates who he wants in the field, who he wants on the team, and they're all going to matter. By the way, Ty Johnson also still out of practice. He's dealing with the hamstring. We can talk about some of the injuries. We'll get to those in a second, but one more guy I want to highlight from particularly here on Sunday at St. John Fisher. Really nice practice for Christian Benford. And
yeah,
he's been kind of steady as you go, not making highlight plays. You see a few times where he gets beat. You see a few times where he makes some plays. I thought he had a really nice practice here on Sunday, Christian Benford. And that's a guy right now, it appears, even though I think we'd both agree, he'd be the starter if we started the game today. But Kyrie Elam's at least getting some chances, you know, with that first team. And Christian Benford's in for a little bit of a fight here. And it's good to see him stepping up.
Yeah, I think he's in for a little bit of a fight, and that's exactly what you wanted to see from Kyrie Elam, that he's pushing him a little bit, but not to the point that I think his job is in any bit of danger unless there's some sort of injury that pops up. I honestly think I could make the case that Christian Benford is closer to the Bills' number one cornerback job than he is to the number three. Like, I think he's closer to Rasul Douglas than he is to Kyrie Elam.
So what's the gap then to you between Kyrie and whoever's next up above him? Pretty significant.
You're saying between Kyrie and the number two corner job?
Yeah, whoever you would consider the number two, how much of a chance would Kyrie have to actually do to win that number two job, I guess, from one of those guys?
I don't even know if there's something he could do, because even if he had an outstanding preseason, I don't think there's anything those guys in front of him could do to not earn those starter jobs. I mean, Rasul Douglas was exceptional from them when they got him last year from Green Bay, and Christian Benford has been incredibly consistent when he's played. What they could do is get injured, and with Christian Benford, that has been a little bit of a problem. He has been banged up at times in his career.
Yep.
So if they stay healthy, I'm anticipating the two of them make the team. And the other player at corner who has kind of continued to trend in the right direction is a guy you've talked about for a long time. Jamarcus Ingram, I think, has had a really strong training camp.
He had a great play today on a crossing route and got his hands. He's long. You know, he reached over whoever it was and was able to knock that ball out. He's had a really nice camp.
I think that corner going into training camp was a perceived area of maybe a bit of concern for the Bills. And so far, 9 days into training camp, I actually think I like the corner room more than I did definitely a week and a half ago, and probably more than most people do, just because I think Elam has had a good camp and Ingram has had a good camp.
Well, the question at corner is the same question as safety, and that is depth, right? And they're really being tested with their depth right now. Cole Bishop still out. Mike Edwards still out. It's Damar Hamlin and Taylor Rapp basically running. So with the number ones, if the Bills go to week one and Damar Hamlin is starting next to Taylor Rapp, how are you feeling?
Not great about the position. If it's something long-term, if it's just a week thing.
Let's say, hey, Cole's kind of close. Mike's kind of close. We just don't want to push it. We're going to probably, you got that Thursday night game coming up. You could see a scenario. The Bills go, we don't want to have that quick turnaround division game on a Thursday night. Let's make sure they're ready for Miami. We're going to roll with Damar Hamlin against the Arizona Cardinals.
I think he's serviceable. I think it's fine. I don't think that that would be something that would cause the Bills, you know, it's not like it would be the difference between them to me winning and losing a game. It could potentially become a difference maker.
Right.
I like Damar Hamlin, the player. My issue there is I'm not super sold on Taylor Rapp either. So it's not like it's just, oh, well, you're Damar Hamlin. It's, well, it's Damar Hamlin and it's Taylor Rapp. So to me, that's why it would be an area of concern. I just don't love the safety position right now because of the injuries and really just because of the guys that they have there. We've been spoiled in Buffalo with the two safeties that they've had for the last 7 years. I know that it's realistic that there's going to be a little bit of a step back. I don't think it's going to be as big of a step back as some people think, just because I don't think Jordan Poyer last year was the level Jordan Poyer has been during his time in Buffalo. And definitely the same thing with Micah Hyde. I like Taylor Rapp, but I think I like Taylor Rapp more if he's the second best safety in the tandem and not, you know, the definite number one safety in the tandem, which is right now what has happened because of all the other injuries that have happened in that position.
You and I had a little bit of a, we're going to talk linebackers here in a second. There were a couple injuries, but you and I had a bit of a debate and talk the other day about the backup linebacker spot. And just so everybody's aware, Bielan Spector today played in the, they went like 2 minute drill and they just took Terrell Bernard out. There was nothing wrong with him. As far as I could see, Bielan Spector was playing in the middle during the 2 minute, during the 2 minute drill to kind of get that feel. He was with Matt Milano right there. But that being said, Bielan Spector, Dorian Williams, to me, they're the three and four linebackers. The Bills did have a couple of guys who are banged up. Nicholas Morrow has a core muscle injury and Eddie Ulofosio has a rib injury. Both missed practice. That's a spot where we all know what happened last year, Matt, with the linebacker depletion, right? Now they still have some guys there that they're holding on to. Deion Jones is one of them. Of course, Joe Andreessen. I don't expect these guys necessarily. Joe Andreessen, I don't expect to make the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. But right now, we're going through a little bit at the linebacker spot like they had before.
Yeah, Ulofosio, so it's a rib injury, which is interesting. I thought it was a wrist injury because when he got hurt, his wrist was in front of his rib. Ooh. And he was grabbing it. So I thought, you know how like how if you hurt your rib, you put your wrist in front of it and do that? I thought he was grabbing his wrist, but I think he was using his wrist to kind of like poke into the rib. So I watched that happen right in front of me and was completely wrong. So I guess I don't know if a rib injury is more or less concerning than a wrist injury would be, but the fact that he wasn't at practice, we don't know, because Sean didn't talk today, so we probably won't get some sort of update until we hear from Sean again. Yeah, it's a concern. It is a concern at linebacker. I feel like I'm really, really comfortable with the two guys they have there, but I think they'll want to be a little bit more stable behind them. Based off the conversation we had the other day, I think you're a little bit higher on Bielan Spector than I am. I think the team is also a little bit higher on Bielan Spector.
Well, that's what it is for me, just to clarify. To me, I'm just saying he's the backup middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he's a good enough player to be able to play and be a backup, but not necessarily be a starter level. But he is clearly, to me, the number two middle linebacker.
So right now, with the injuries, it would be Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, Dorian Williams, Bielan Spector, Deion Jones. Would we feel comfortable with that? Do we think that that's probably the way they would lean with the guys they keep? Or is there somebody?
I think it's between Eddie Ulofosio and Nicholas Morrow, the two guys that hurt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm guessing those guys, depending on the severity of their injuries, I would say both of them would be the fifth linebacker. But probably, if they're not in the mix, at least for right now, than Deion Jones. I mean, Deion Jones, a lot of NFL experience. Same thing with Morrow. Yeah.
The only two left is Jones and Andreessen. Jones, the former Pro Bowler, has 13 interceptions. That's a guy you keep on. He can play special teams, and you can put him on passing situations. I think there's a great story for Joe Andreessen. I'd really love to see him make the practice squad. I don't think he really has much of a chance to make the big club, but he's going to get some opportunity for reps now because of the injuries. They did make a move today, however, on Sunday. Shane Simon comes back to the team. He was a linebacker they released, and then waived injured David Uwobu. I don't know if he's saying that right. I apologize, but they waived injured him because of an injury, but I think now at least Andreessen gets a little more experience. You know what Joe Andreessen is? Joe Andreessen is the kind of guy that he's with you all camp. He knows the defense. Maybe late in the season, something happens. You're like, let's bring that guy in for an extra body on the practice squad because we have a couple injuries just in case we have to have a call up, right? That's what that happens there. But they are getting a little depleted in their secondary depth. In their linebacker depth. I'm going to run through the injuries now that guys who are still not playing or haven't played and didn't play on Sunday. I want to ask you, what is maybe your concern level on a couple of them?
Before you do the injuries, can we talk about one other position?
Sure.
Because once again, outside looking in, but this is a player who we've talked a little bit about. Sounds like Zach Davidson had another nice play today, and it came from Josh Allen.
Yes.
So that, to me, signals maybe there really is a competition between Zach Davidson and Quentin Morris. Now, I know he's not a special teams contributor like Quentin Morris would be, but where do you think the chances are that Zach Davidson is now their third tight end or has a really legitimate chance at becoming their third tight end?
I've been on this train for a while. I think Zach Davidson has had a legitimate shot to beat out Quentin Morris. I think Zach Davidson makes more plays than Quentin Morris, but I also agree and know that they love Quentin Morris for special teams and all the other things that he brings. He's kind of a very well-rounded tight end, but man, Zach Davidson, he catches the ball. He gets upfield. I don't know how good of a blocker he is, right? Doesn't seem like it's necessarily going to be in his game. Mm-hmm. Special teams, really not. But I think that Zach Davidson legitimately has a chance at that third tight end spot. All right, speaking of tight ends, speaking of injuries, Dawson Knox missed practice on Sunday with a groin injury, but also a vet rest day. When they play a groin/vet rest, it's pretty much he's going to be okay, right? Feels like that trending okay. Chase Claypool, once again, out with a toe injury. Lael Collins out, the offensive lineman. And then offensive lineman Travis Clayton. Travis Clayton most likely not going to be on the Bills. He'll be exempt from the practice squad. Thinking about both Lael Collins and Chase Claypool for different reasons. The longer this goes for either of them, the less, the worse it is for them, for their opportunities. Mm-hmm. I do think both of them, because they are veterans, they've been in the league. Obviously, both have had different types of careers here. I think the Bills at least would love to see them get in some preseason games, but it feels like time is kind of running out here for Chase Claypool to get on the field.
Yeah, I get that sense. However, I wonder if the Bills are being more patient with him than we see from the outside looking in, and they just know that the sample size of what he's been able to do as an actual player in the league will show once they actually get to preseason games. If Chase Claypool goes into the preseason and is the Bills' leading receiver and makes a bunch of plays, how much does it change that he wasn't available for a week straight of practices? That's the question that I don't know. I would think that if it's close between him and Tyrell Shavers, Tyrell Shavers will get the edge because he's a younger player who also had a good camp. But if Chase Claypool is back and performs in the preseason, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility, then I think he's once again right back into the mix. I'm not saying that I agree with this, but Tyrell Shavers might be a player you get to your practice squad. Chase Claypool probably is not. The other interesting layer is how
I'm going to stop you right there. I think Chase Claypool is. He's a veteran. He's not subject to waivers, and he was a free agent very, very late in the process. No one else signed him anyway. When teams had 90 guys on their roster, they didn't sign him.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying most people don't know who Tyrell Shavers is. And if he doesn't have a good actual preseason games, I don't know how many teams are throwing him on their team or their practice squad based off of just, he heard he was good.
And I agree in one sense. Let's think about the mechanics of the rule as we talk about this for a second. If the Bills were to waive Tyrell Shavers at the end of camp, and a team wants, and the team claims them, he's got to go right on their 53.
Right on their 53.
No team's going to, I agree with you. How many teams are going to do that, right? So well, actually,
the Giants, like that's the it's any connection. Sure, it's any sure, connection sure. to the Bills. Maybe the Giants.
If the Bills waive Chase Claypool, he's just a free agent. He can just wait and say, hey, like, we're gonna in tomorrow in 24 hours, we'll sign you to the practice squad. I think the Bills still have a chance to get Tyrell Shavers on their practice squad unless you have a team that just says we're gonna put him on the 53. You're right about that. To me, though, it is interesting that a guy like Chase Claypool might still offer so much upside to them, whereas Tyrell Shavers is the young guy. You make a great point there that, but if you could have your sixth guy be a guy that, man, at some point, maybe he just hits and all of a sudden we know the upside. We know that he's put up over 800 yards and, you know, in the NFL.
Well, here's the question. So Tyrell Shavers, we both think, has a strong chance of making the team. We're getting back to this. Would you rather have the upside of Chase Claypool or MVS?
Because Chase Claypool.
I think that's the thing the Bills need to figure out. And right now, Chase Claypool has not helped himself because he hasn't been on the field. Correct. MVS hasn't helped himself, and he has been on the field.
Yep.
So that's what I think they need to figure out. MVS has the more impressive resume, back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, I said it on TV Friday night. The last time MVS played inside that stadium, he made several big catches, at least one, like really big catch, to help the Chiefs win that game. So he's done it before against the Bills. So I guess it's just a what skill set do you think better fits? The other little bit of a knock on Chase Claypool that I've heard some of our colleagues say, and I think it's an interesting point, is that the skill set is a little similar to Mac Hollins, that he doesn't provide you that much different of what you already have. And I think the Bills are a bit higher on Mac Hollins than anybody else's, really. They really, really like the guy. This is a long way of saying I think Tyrell Shavers is a really strong shot at making the team. And I think that after that, it's going to kind of come down to MVS and Chase Claypool. And I'm almost not even really given a shot anymore to like Shorter or Hamler or Brian Thompson. If you have an amazing preseason, you have no idea. There's anything could happen. I just haven't seen enough from any of those guys to say like, okay, they're still in the mix here.
By the way, I saw Justin Shorter go to the locker room as I was on my way into practice, and I didn't see him the rest of the day. I'm not saying he might have been out there in some capacity. I did not see him, so we'll keep updated on that. All right, last one on this. I'm going to throw up on the screen the offense. I think this is the offense here. Take a look at the O-line. Our Always Game Day logo is right there, but you see it. Lael Collins, I have him listed as the sixth O-lineman because I thought he would be. Now, I think Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson are on this team. They are really your six guys because you're tackling guard. I always thought Lael Collins would be kind of your swingman. Lael Collins has been injured. He has not been practicing. Where do you put him right now?
Well, I think you've got your starting five, and Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson are definitely on the team. And Cedric Van Pran Granger is also probably on the team. So I would say Lael Collins is either the eighth or the ninth guy. I mean, given the contract that he got, let's give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But I don't think that he's absolutely getting on the field. I think they would be quicker to use Alec Anderson or Ryan Vandermark off of at least what we've seen at training camp so far.
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Tell me the contract again. Do you have it in front of you? I'm going to look it up right now. What his contract was, because I agree with you.
Did he get $6 million?
No. Signed a 1 year, $1.75 million contract with the Bills.
Oh, that's not crazy. That's not crazy at all.
1.5 guaranteed, though. And so that matters a little bit. That matters a little bit. It's not the end all be all, but it does matter a little bit, right? I still think Lael Collins is probably on this team at the end of the day. When I look at that group, and I'm going to throw him up again. Let me throw that back on the let me go right here. I'll throw this back up again. Here we go. Dawkins, Brown, McGovern, Torrance, and Edwards. Here's your starting five. By the way, Matt, first time today I'd seen anybody take a rep with the starting five other than those five. They actually started rotating other than the other day when Deion Dawkins literally left for a few minutes and had an equipment adjustment or something. But they actually, Alec Anderson played center for a play. Who else was in there? Hold on. I saw another. Ryan Vandermark was playing left tackle for a play. So Alec Anderson, there they are. Those are the two guys. I think the Bills will probably keep nine offensive linemen on the team, maybe eight. They dress eight. They get that extra guy on the active day, game day roster. So you have 5, 6, and 7 are Vandermark and Anderson. 8 to me is Cedric Van Pran Granger. Lael Collins is probably the ninth guy then. Yeah, I think he fits in.
Anybody else on that list of like Kevin Jarvis, Grable, Keaton Bills, Gunnar Britton.
No, these most of the guys, all the guys at the Travis end Clayton. Are maybe practice squad guys. You don't even know. We'll see. And then Clapp, Garage, and Jarvis, I think, are either they're I think they're all on the practice squad. I think they're on the practice squad. I think the other guys are, do you even have them on the practice squad, or are they just not on the roster in any capacity? You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. While we have the can you go back to the depth chart while we have it up? We didn't really talk a ton about running back after we mentioned the James Cook drop and the Ray Davis fumbles. Any thoughts about Evans/Frank Gore? You think they just both end up on the practice squad? They keep one of them on the practice squad?
Gore is probably more likely because Evans has time in this league, and he's actually, remember last year they released him. He went back to Chicago and then he went to Miami. Yeah. He played in games. Gore, I think, is a player that nobody's going to be clamoring for him. Evans might just say, I want a chance to go. I'm going to stay fresh and healthy. But yes, I think either of them could wind up being on the practice squad. I think Frank Gore is the kind of guy, though, that you might want a year of develop. You know, he kind of gets that year under his belt. Terrenton Evans, though, can return kicks. He can do different things. Mm-hmm. I think this is the better way I'd say this. I think Terrenton Evans might want a better opportunity than the Bills practice squad. If one is out there and available to him, he might want to search for that instead of just being on the Bills practice squad.
Does he have any chance at returning kicks for the Bills? And if he doesn't, who the heck is going to? Because we're now 9 days in the camp, 10 days in the camp, and I still don't have a good answer. I really legitimately think the two of us could put together a 53-man roster projection that would look pretty close to what they ultimately end up doing, but I still don't know who's going to handle those duties for them.
I don't know either. Do you remember what happened the other night when they had the kickoff returns at Highmark Stadium? There were a few different guys that were back there.
It feels like it's a rotation of Daquan Hardy, KJ Hamler, Khalil Shakir, Andy Isabella.
This is punts and kicks, all of them.
No, that's what I mean. Like, maybe Ty Johnson is somehow involved when he's back. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I will say this, though. Daquan Hardy has flashed a little bit more on actual defense than I anticipated. I agree. So that maybe makes him a little bit more of the front runner because he wouldn't just be the kick punt returner. He could also maybe do something on defense, which is what I feared, just pretty much based off his size, really, more than anything.
You know, I'm glad you said that. I've been thinking the same thing. Like, from making the team, other than just, you know, as a returner, they're not just going to keep four boundary corners, right? They might, I guess, but he's played on the boundary, but he's more of a slot guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Corey Couch is there. I know that you have obviously Cam Lewis, but to me, it feels like there's one extra corner spot left. I guess that's the way I want to say it. There's one extra corner spot left. It feels like, and I think Daquan Hardy has a shot at that.
If he is the best returner option, does Cam Lewis absolutely undoubtedly make the team?
Cam Lewis is on the Buffalo Bills. I don't care what in any other situation. He is way too valuable for all the things they do on defense, especially with the injuries at safety.
Yeah, I mean, he is right now. I mean, he take safety reps. He can play behind Taron Johnson, almost at one point won that job. He has, in a pinch, needed to go at the boundary, special teams. So he's got all that covered. I just have a hard time thinking that they'll keep, all four of the corners we said who are on the boundary, then Taron Johnson, and then at minimum four or five safeties. That's just a lot of defensive backs. I don't know if they'll keep five, six corners, right? If they keep, I know Cam Lewis has a little position flexibility, but if they keep Cam Lewis and Daquan Hardy, that's six cornerbacks. Seven, if you count Taron.
Here's what I would say, though. If you didn't keep Cam Lewis, Taron Johnson got hurt, who's playing nickel corner? Like, you have to. I think Cam Lewis is such a you got to keep him as your backup nickel, right? Going Daquan Hardy as your backup nickel right now?
Probably not. No, but other than that, I don't know. I would say it would be Cam Lewis.
Yeah, that's why I think that would be the case. I'm looking at Cam's salary. It's not overly. I don't know. I have to find out what's guaranteed, but he's got 1.125 guaranteed. So again, not a huge number to get out of. Josh Reed, our colleague, and I were talking about this today. And Josh said he's going to play 12 years in the NFL, even if it's not on the Bills. And I said, imagine that, coming from UB undrafted. He's in his sixth year already. Guy's going to make probably like $20 million in his NFL career, which is crazy when it's all said and done.
what's funny, because when you were talking about injuries and I was thinking about him and Jamarcus Ingram, and I'm like, wow, yeah, there's like actually a lot of UB on this team. Yeah. And I know the proximity makes so much sense, but even if Andreessen could win a job on the practice squad, like that's still a really nice payday, and still you can make a really nice living off of that. And who knows what it might one day eventually lead to. And the examples of that are quite literally Jamarcus Ingram and Cam Lewis.
That's exactly right. All right, so let's wrap up by looking ahead. It's preseason week, buddy. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Bills are on the field. They're playing a game. Preseason game number one. It's going to be Saturday at Highmark Stadium, 1 p.m. The Chicago Bears come to town. I'm guessing Caleb Williams is going to play in that game if they're not playing in the Hall of Fame game, which is pretty cool for everyone to see as well.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think, is there any chance Josh plays? Hear me out on this.
Oh, let me, before I say no, I'm going to say yes, there's a chance, because
yeah,
they typically do play him in one of the preseason games, and it doesn't have to be the last one. Remember, there's three, then there's a week off, and then there's mm-hmm. the first game.
Yeah, I mean, I would think, now they have not always done this, because last year, I believe he played in Pittsburgh, so it's not like they've always felt like they needed to do it at home. It just feels like you have a little bit more of a controlled environment if you do it at home. And for, I don't think you should play at any point in the preseason, personally. I just don't get the sense that that'll happen. And I would say better to err on the side of caution and go early as opposed to later, just in case something happens. So if I was in charge of an organization, I would not be letting him take snaps in the preseason at all. But I think that they're going to. So yeah, at that point, it's okay. Well, what is the absolute best case scenario of that? And to me, it would be the first preseason game at home, get it over with, and then call it a day.
Could you make an argument that this is a very important preseason to actually have him on the field with these new receivers for, like, even though I agree, like, never, just put him in bubble wrap, put him on the sidelines. But wouldn't this be the year to make that argument?
Yeah, but the downside is so much greater than positive. There's, to me, what does it matter if he goes out in the preseason and throws a gorgeous touchdown to Keon Coleman? It's not like it automatically correlates to that continuing in the regular season. But what if somebody bumps him the wrong way? Or what if there's something that happens to him? I just don't think it's worth it. I don't think that I don't think it directly correlates to, you know, an unbelievable start to the season. Remember a couple of years ago when he played at home in the preseason? It was the year after they went to the AFC Championship game. I think they played against Green Bay, and he fired a laser to Gabe Davis for a touchdown. And I think he played the first quarter, and he was unbelievable in the first quarter. Correct. You know what they did to start that season? They stunk against the Steelers at home and lost. So there was no correlation of, oh, wow, he was great in the preseason, but they still started slow. Last year, you know, he was in the preseason, and then they still stunk in the first week of the year. So I don't think that it's been like, oh, if Josh plays in the preseason, at least he's going to start the season super strong, because two of the last 3 years, they haven't been great week one. The year they were great week one was the year they started in L.A.
That's right. Well, they start Saturday at home. Should be fun at Highmark Stadium, 1 p.m. In the meantime, Matt's going to be back at practice on Monday. He'll have all of your coverage at WKBW TV Channel 7. I'll be here on Monday as well. WGR Sports Radio 550 joining Jeremy and Joe in the morning, Shope and the Bulldog in the afternoon. They got three practices left: Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. Then it's out of here, back to Highmark Stadium, the next week in Pittsburgh for a day or so, and then a preseason game against the Steelers after a practice with the Steelers. So still have a little ways to go here, Matt, but it is getting closer. Football game action is right here this week, I guess.
Preseason football to me is still so fun. Obviously, nothing compares to the regular season, but give me a day of the preseason, give me a game of the preseason every day. I love it. And I think Bills fans do, too. It's a good chance for you to evaluate your favorite team and see what guys you think could make it, what guys maybe won't, and, you know, kind of start to put together your own roster projections moving forward.
If you're listening to us wherever you pod, we thank you so much. Please subscribe to It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, and you can watch us on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo on the Sal Sports YouTube page. If you're watching us on the YouTube page, you can always subscribe. Just have it ready for you whenever you pod, wherever you pod, driving around, doing the dishes, the laundry, cutting the grass. That's what I like to do. For Matt, I'm Sal. Thanks a lot for joining us.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. Ooh. You get quality. Oh. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.